And you are listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and this is a tribute to Ken Fisher. The end of the week brings an end to 30 years of consistent leadership at one of this area's most beloved institutions. Ken Fisher is recognized internationally for the extraordinary work he's done in growing UMS over the past three decades. As 89.1 WEMU's Lisa Berry found out, this is a community that fully recognizes what it has had for all these years.
Ask anyone from New York to California to right here at home about outgoing University of Michigan Musical Society President Ken Fisher, and you will be met by pretty much the same enthusiastic response.
He's a spectacular promoter. You know, he is responsible for the arts in Southeast Michigan, and he's a national treasure.
His capacity to make you feel like he knows you so well and you are so special at the moment.
He's just wonderful. He's so gregarious and he embraces everyone. He loves people, he loves life, he loves the arts. He's great.
Everybody in, nobody out. I mean, that's his thing.
Everybody in, nobody out. That's the Ken Fisher difference. The legacy he leaves behind after 30 years with UMS. There have been numerous tributes and celebrations to the man who spent three decades bringing some of the greatest performers and musicians to the Ann Arbor area, including one in early May that featured his own family members performing on piano, cello, and violin. That music kicked off an evening honoring Ken, and several hundred people mingled around a seafood bar and cabana seating inside the University of Michigan Chrysler Arena. University President Dr. Mark Schlissel had nothing but praise for the high-caliber performances Ken Fisher has brought over the years to the university community.
The organization that he leads is a glue for the community. Through the generations, alumni, people throughout the whole Southeast Michigan, the whole nation, The caliber of performances that he brings and the thoughtfulness of the way they're presented and put together into seasons is unbelievable.
A bit before Ken Fisher's time, the UMS Choral Union, formed in 1879, sang an Aaron Copland tune in honor of Ken. And Russ Collins, executive director and CEO of the historic Michigan Theater in downtown Ann Arbor, talked about knowing Ken Fisher for 30 years.
I knew him the day that he came to town. I was running the Michigan Theater, and I got to take Ken around to his first arts conference in New York. So I had been going to that conference for about 5 years, and so I took him around and showed him the first set of ropes, but he already was pretty well connected up with that with his mentor, Patrick Hayes. So anyway, and we've been colleagues for those entire 30 years and collaborators on several different kinds of things. So anyway, Ken's is true to his word, everybody in, nobody out, and is a passionate, generous guy.
On the other end of that spectrum, Ann Arbor Art Center Vice President of Strategic Initiatives Omari Rush has known Ken Fisher since 2003, when he began as an intern at UMS.
Fortunate and really blessed to work with Ken. He was really kind to me. I learned, in general, kindness, openness to other people. I learned what it means to really connect to a community. It's everybody in, nobody out. I mean, that's his thing. And he really lived it. And so me being able to be around him, whether it's watching him in a meeting, him introducing me to people, him making a way for all kinds of things to happen for our community, all these were lessons that I was learning every day just by being around him. And it was really amazing.
On an evening dedicated to honoring Ken, he was still networking and making new connections as he met Ypsilanti Community High School art teacher Lynn Settles, who had just been named DTE Energy Foundation Educator of the Year.
DTE Education Foundation Teacher of the Year. Educator of the Year. Well, I'm so glad to meet you, and I just love the video and how the kids were talking about you and the difference that you make in their lives.
Oh,
just wonderful. Thank you. Let me give you a hug.
Ken Fisher in action. UMS Board Secretary Rachel Bendit first met Ken Fisher in the 1990s as an undergraduate student at the University of Michigan.
I didn't grow up here, and I wasn't here before Ken was at UMS, but I can say that our lives as college students, And then as community members and parents have been immeasurably impacted by the beautiful, compelling, and important work that Ken has brought to this town. And I'd say as a board member, it's been an incredible privilege to work with the staff that he has cultivated over all these decades.
As another group performs on that special night honoring the outgoing UMS president for 30 years of music and dance and friends and connections, there's only one thing to say to Ken Fisher, and University of Michigan President Dr. Mark Schlissel says it best.
Thank you, Ken Fisher.
Lisa Berry, 89.1 WEMU News.
And there it is, an applause well deserved. A 30-year career as president of UMS comes to an end at the end of the day Friday. This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, sitting with the man who has grown UMS for three decades into an institution recognized internationally for its commitment and excellence in the world of the performing arts. Ken Fisher, you had no idea when you came in today that we were going to play this feature for you. What does it mean to hear those voices and those sentiments?
Well, I'm really, really overwhelmed, David. Thank you so much for that. I had no idea that, you know, you were getting these recordings and so on. But, you know, a theme throughout what you and the other folks were saying was this inclusion policy of everybody in, nobody out. And I want to be sure folks know that's not original with me. That was the inclusion policy of Patrick Hayes, who was founder of Washington Performing Arts. But in 1948, or in 1939, he saw Marian Anderson perform on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And the reason she was performing there was she was denied the opportunity to perform at Constitution Hall. Well, that, he said, we got to change that. We need to have Washington be a place where everybody feels welcomed in the arts community. And so he set forth to desegregate the theaters of Washington. And when he became a nonprofit organization in the mid-60s in a still quite segregated Washington, he chose as his board chair Todd Duncan, the first Porgy in Porgy and Bess, and a professor of great distinction at Howard University. And so I just am carrying on what my mentor believed.
Everybody in, everybody nobody in. Out.
And then this is a community, of course, that has really embraced that. And I want to give a shout-out to WEMU because, you know, I was invited over here fairly early on to help the station with its fundraising. And indeed, this is a station that's always been there for UMS. But as I sat here with some of your hosts, the challenge put forward to me was, Ken, if you put live on stage what we put on the air, we guarantee your success. People are just waiting to see these performers live. And whether it's Afro-Cuban All-Stars or Celia Cruz, or Wynton Marsalis, or Herbie Hancock. I mean, when I think of this station, it's jazz, blues, news, and all kinds of world music. And we've become so much more inclusive, so much more interesting to the people of this region because of the challenge put forth here 25 years ago.
That notion of everybody in and nobody out speaks to the partnerships and collaborations that you have fostered over the years. And if you reflect back on your 30 years, it really is about the people and the relationships, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, we've been located at Burton Memorial Tower since the mid-30s. And if you look at it, you can conjure up the notion of ivory tower. Here we are in the midst of a major university. And you know what's often said about universities is, you know, so they just need to get out into the community a little bit more. Well, the fact is we have an extraordinarily rich diversity of cultural expressions in Southeast Michigan. And I felt it was time that UMS begin to be building relationships with some of these communities of shared heritage. The largest concentration of Arabs outside the Middle East is right here in our own backyard. And then, of course, the African and African-American populations. And when we think of the Americas, Canada to the north, and then Mexico and Central America and South America, and the rich cultural expressions there, and then the diversity of Asian populations, well, these were all communities
where we needed to get out of that tower and build those relationships. So communities of shared heritage was one, but then the nonprofit organizations in town where we could be working together to help one another. And then there's the business community education programs. And so I want to give a shout out to my wife, Penny, who's been an educator, who's been teaching here at WEMU for many years. It was she in that pillow talk back in the early 1987. Fish, it's great that you're bringing all these Vienna Philharmonic and Jesse Norman. And what are you doing for the kids? What are you doing for the kids? And so it was really Penny's expression of you gotta do something for the kids that started our education program. In fact, that now has reached even into Northern Ohio, over in Canada, mainly serving the school districts, but public and private day schools and so on and so forth.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is a tribute to Ken Fisher, who end of day tomorrow will end a 30-year career as president of UMS. Obviously, you've had some time to reflect, and there is more to come, but as you do look back on the past 30 years and as you prepare to step down, what are the challenges that remain? Were there any challenges you feel were left unmet?
Well, I just love the fact that I'm looking at my successor on the other side of the table here, because I feel so good about the future of UMS and the ability of Matthew Van Beesen and the team that he'll inherit and a terrific board, that those challenges that we continue to face are going to be met in an absolutely first-rate way. I mean, one of the challenges is the fact that creative artists now are looking for not so rigid environments. We have fixed seating in a whole lot of places. But one of the things that we've discovered is when you bring in artists like Robert Wilson, great director, and Philip Glass, when they remounted Einstein on the Beach here, they loved the fact that they had 4 weeks to work on that piece here. Well, then the word started getting out. As these creative artists said, Ann Arbor is a great place to create work, to remount work. There's students around, and there's a great organization that will provide support. So I think as we look to the future, imagine what this region could be if the creative artists of the world knew that they had a home here. And of course, the University of Michigan has a research agenda. The largest research expense budget of any public institution is at the University of Michigan. Imagine what UMS can do in partnership with the School of Music, Theater, and Dance, and this Art and Design, and Architecture and Urban Planning, to have this be a center for creative artists from all over the world coming here and working with our great creative faculty. So, providing space for that to happen. Of course, that needs support. But I got to put my tip my hat to the way in which this community has supported individuals, local businesses, and of course, the media, especially WEMU. As print media has found its challenges, this station has always been there, and I am so grateful for it.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU, and a tribute to Ken Fisher. The voice you've been hearing is Ken Fisher, and we'll invite into the conversation in a few moments' time Matthew Van Beesen, who is the incoming president of UMS. But before we get to that part of the conversation, Ken, I do want to ask, you have 30 years to reflect upon, an amazing number of performances, an amazing number of experiences, not only here, but around the world in bringing that to our community. Do you have a moment that stands out above all others?
Well, there are actually quite a few. I mean, there was Bernstein coming here for his final performance. He chose four cities among 30 that were interested in it. That's always special. Then, of course, the Royal Shakespeare Company coming here. And, that final time when Patrick Stewart, I challenged him. I said, Mr. Stewart, I want to offer you a leading role, center stage in the largest theater in the round in the United States of America. Are you interested? He said, absolutely. I said, great. You're going to conduct the Michigan Marching Band at halftime. But, one that really stands out because it says so much about the community, and I'll shorten this. It was Berlin Philharmonic when they were here in 1999. And I got an email the next day from the president of the orchestra, and this is a self-governing orchestra. And he said, you know, Ken, of all the cities on the 9-city international tour, this is the one we like the best. Here's why. You're the smallest town, but you deliver the largest crowd. What does that say about audience interest and the size of Hill Auditorium? You let us play Schoenberg, and that's a clue for you've got an adventuresome audience, and you know it. So you'll let us play what we want to play, and other cities wouldn't do that. Third, we looked out in the audience, and we saw students everywhere. We didn't see that in the other cities. And fourth, Ken, I got to tell you, what do you call it? Midwest hospitality? That letter in German on the bed of every single orchestra member welcoming them on behalf of the community, and then that little coupon to Zingerman's and where they could go to, you know, swim if they wanted to. And then finally, you knew how to take care of our conductor. But here's what's fun. What would you think if 18 of us came to play chamber music with your students? And then he said, let me remind you of the cities on that tour. Moscow, Bonn, Paris, London, New York, Washington, Chicago, Boston, and
Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor. And of all those cities, yours are the one we want to come back to. So that says so many things about audience, about university, the hall, the students. That's the one story when somebody says, you got a minute to tell us, 2 minutes, to tell the story. That's the one because it says so much about this community.
Well, on a personal level, you spent 30 years dedicated to a vision and a mission. What does the future hold for Ken Fisher?
Oh, I'm very excited about it. Well, first of all, you know how good I have to feel knowing my successor, whom I've known now for 6 years, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but you can't imagine how good that feels. And I wanted to leave an organization in good shape. But for me, I got a new office over at the College of Literature, Science, and Arts. I've just moved 140 boxes over there. It's crazy. I'm working on a book that I have to have the manuscript done by the end of August.
And you meet deadlines typically. You'll be all right.
And Penny and I have these terrific grandchildren out on the West Coast. So we're going to see a lot more of them. We're going to stick around Ann Arbor. And when I say stick around, that also means not in the way of my successor. If I've gotten any good advice from people, it's give this guy, you know, every opportunity and try to get lost as much as possible. But, you know, Matthew and I know each other. I'll know if he needs me, he knows I'm there. But I think the best thing is, you know, stick around that office at LSNA.
This is a tribute to Ken Fisher on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM. I'm David Fair. And, of course, once again, after an intensive search, a new UMS president has been identified and hired. He comes to Ann Arbor after most recently serving as president of the New York Philharmonic. Matthew Van Beesen will become only the 7th president of UMS since its inception in 1879. For the last 25 years, Matthew has worked on the orchestral field and says he's looking forward to the opportunity to expand his personal horizons while building on the tremendous and varied program offerings set forth by his predecessor, Ken Fisher, at UMS. And welcome to town, Matthew Van Beesen.
Thanks, David. It's great to speak with you again.
Are you all moved in, all settled? You starting to find your way around town?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had a chance to get to know Ann Arbor a little bit even before officially coming here. But both my wife and I, Rosie and I, have really loved settling in here. Everyone has made us feel incredibly welcome. It's, you know, Ken personally has done so many things to really welcome us here. But the board of UMS, people around the community, we love it here.
Now, when it was first announced that you were going to be the successor to Ken Fisher, you and I had an opportunity to speak
right,
by phone.
Did.
You were still in New York. I asked you this question, then I'm going to ask it again for those who didn't get it. But for many, New York serves as the cultural hub of not only the United States, but perhaps the world. And you have chosen to leave that and bring your family to Ann Arbor for a new venture. What about this community brought you here?
Well, I think there are a couple of things, and we'll talk about UMS in a minute. And first of all, I mean, I'm incredibly honored to succeed Ken and the work that he's accomplished here. I mean, not just the work itself, but the atmosphere, the environment, the relationships that he's built over the year. I mean, you can hear through these testimonials the incredible warmth that he has really endeared this program with. But, you know, for me, you know, I'm a Midwestern kid. I was born in St. Louis. I went to grade school in a 100-kid school, rural school outside Carbondale, Illinois. It's where I first came to know and love music. I went to Interlochen as a camper in the summer. So for me, coming to Michigan, coming back to the Midwest really feels like coming home again. But I will tell you that both Ann Arbor and the University of Michigan, and especially UMS, have made an enormous impression on me over the last several years of my career.
Well, of course, the New York Philharmonic, of which you were head, served a residency with UMS here in Ann Arbor. During that period of time, when you got to experience this and you got to see UMS at work and you got to have conversations and build a relationship with Ken Fischer, was that a major part of the process in your decision?
Absolutely. I was telling this story to the board. And by the way, I want to take just one moment to really make sure everyone knows that at the final UMS board meeting of the year, Ken was named president emeritus of UMS.
There you go.
Which I think is an incredibly fitting honor. I don't know whether UMS has ever had a president emeritus before. I'm guessing probably not.
Congratulations.
No one deserves it more than
thank you.
Gentleman sitting across the table here. But, you know, Ken and I met for the first time in 2011. I'd come here to the University of Michigan to the Ross School of Business as part of the National Art Strategy's Chief Executives Program. And that's where they brought 100 chief executives of arts organizations, really from all over the world. I was in Melbourne running the Melbourne Symphony at the time, so I think I probably came the farthest of anyone that week. But we had this extraordinary curriculum and experience here on the Michigan campus. And Ken, who was a longtime board member of National Art Strategies, of course, was an amazing host. And amazingly, we'd never met before. I'd met Ken's brother Norman at Rice University many years back. But we bonded instantly. We're both former French horn players, recovering French horn players.
That's an interesting way to put it.
And, you know, I think at that point, you know, I said at this board meeting the other day, it really planted a seed. There's no question about that. It planted a seed, I think, for me about a place, an incredibly special place like UMS here in Ann Arbor, here in Southeast Michigan, to come someday.
Well, Ken, you've already mentioned how glad you are that Matthew Van Veezen was the choice. You had nothing to do with the search process.
That's
but
great.
But when the search committee came to you and said, guess who?
Well, I mean, the story is, you're absolutely right. I had nothing to do with the search. I knew not any candidates. I later learned there were about 70 of them. But I got a call from Steve Forrest, who was chairing the committee, and he said, well, Ken, it's really come down to one person. And now we've got to get everything ready to make the offer and make sure that he says yes. And the name is Matthew Van Veezen. I was at the Red Hawk. I was so excited. I had to leave the restaurant. I went down State Street, turned left at Liberty, found a seat in front of Elevation Burger to finally absorb it all. But you know what it's like when you're a kid and you hear about it. Was just such good news to me, and it was so unexpected because I'd known him as the head of the New York Philharmonic.
Philharmonic, right.
I mean, we're talking the New York Philharmonic. You know, it's even older than UMS. And, you know, and it's in the cultural capital, certainly of our country, if not the world. And that I just thought, how right this is. You know, kid from the Midwest, went to a Big Ten school. We both went to Interlochen, both played the French horn. It was like a ding, ding, ding. And then such capability.
Unintentional symmetry.
But, you know, I've also gotten to know Matthew when he was here bringing the New York Philharmonic mm-hmm. twice in 2013 and 2015. And in none of those was there ever any indication that he might consider this. So it was just one of those wonderful pieces of news that's really excited me. And it's just gotten better as we've been working together now for the transition.
Ken may not have been on the search committee, but I remember, well, first of all, when I first came here with the orchestra in 2013,
right.
Ken took me, we went and had breakfast at Zingerman's Roadhouse, and that's when we cooked up this idea.
That's why you moved here.
Well,
you
can't discount the influence of Zingerman's on all this. But Ken and I, you know, over breakfast, basically cooked up this idea that the New York Philharmonic would not just come here every two or three years, but that we would come here on a more regular basis and establish this kind of multifaceted residency program. Fast forward to 2015, we're walking to the stadium before Alan Gilbert and the New York Philharmonic Brass performed with about 1,000 musicians from the Michigan Band, from the Choral Union, from the Alumni Band. I mean, it was an incredible experience. And I remember Ken walking with me to the stadium, and he sort of said, hey, you know, I'm thinking I might step down in a couple of years. You know, I just want you to know that. And there was definitely a part of me that thought,
man with a plan.
I didn't say anything at the time, but it definitely resonated with me.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, sitting with Ken Fisher, the outgoing president of UMS, and with Matthew Van Biesen, the incoming president of UMS. And Matthew, now that you are starting to settle in and take a look at what you have, as you look forward, how do you bring forth a plan to continue to grow, not only in the cultural offerings of UMS, but its influence beyond our Southeast Michigan borders here?
Well, look, it's not often in some ways that you get to inherit such a vibrant, healthy institution like UMS that not only has an incredible history, you know, dating back to the late 19th century, but that has evolved so much, especially during Ken's time, in terms of what it presents, the types of artists that it engages, the way in which it presents. You heard President Slissel talking about it's not just what they present, but how they present it. And I think therein lies the key for, you know, the future of UMS, which is it's absolutely about the what, but it's most certainly about the how, and how we think about not only having artists and ensembles come here to Southeast Michigan and do their work creatively, but how the audiences are engaged, the environments in which we present them, and thinking about how we further expand that palette. Ken was talking about how this station so kindly encouraged him and UMS to think about, you know, Latin jazz and blues. And, you know, so it's not only just that creative palette, but it's also thinking about the creative community writ large. And I was speaking to someone who's a distinguished professor at the Ross School of Business the other day, and he was saying, you know, what the learning community now really wants to see is the creative process up close. That it's the art form or the discipline itself, but it's actually seeing that creative process. And I think UMS has this unbelievable ability, as Ken was talking about Robert Wilson coming here, the ability to do the work creatively and let people have a window into that work. That's very, very powerful today.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU and a tribute to Ken Fisher. Now, I'm going to ask a question of each of you in our remaining time together that could probably go on for hours in and of itself, so we'll try and cut it down. But as you both well know, funding for the arts always on the chopping block. Expenses for presentation of musical performance, the performing arts always growing. To this point, how are we going to go about meeting the financial challenges of the future in the arts? Ken, you can go first, and then we'll conclude with Matthew's opinion on this.
Well, I have to just to ask people to think about the role that the arts play in their own life that they may not fully. I mean, look at the car that they drive. Look at the Apple or, you know, Samsung device that they use. Design is right at the heart of this. I mean, if we just stop back and think of the role that it plays beyond just that music lesson you might have taken as a kid, I think we'll all, reflecting on that, understand how critically important it is for the quality of our life. And, you know, it has both instrumental value and intrinsic value. And just for a moment, think about quality of life and how in this community and in Ann Arbor, we have the kind of life we have because people have given the arts a priority. We can't look so much to government. I mean, that's not the way this country operates. It's really individuals. It's our private companies and others that need to join together and work on that.
And Matthew, this becomes one of your primary responsibilities.
Of course. And Ken's absolutely right. I mean, we unfortunately can't look to government at this point. Having had the opportunity to work in Melbourne, Australia, and having had great colleagues who work in systems that are different, you know, where there's a different funding system than here, the reality is that those systems with greater amounts of public funding are moving towards more private philanthropy and sponsorship now. So they're all moving, for better or for worse, they're all moving to where we are and have been here for a long time here in the U.S. But Ken's absolutely right. I mean, it's our job to help bring people back to be reminded about how, you know, all the different ways the arts and the creative community play a role in their lives. But it's also incumbent upon us, I think, as arts leaders and programmers to think about how we can think about presentations that not only remind people about that, but actually enrich their lives further. So one thing that I think has been a growing sense at UMS is that you know, as Ken said, getting out of the tower and understanding that we're a part of the fabric of the community, and whatever dynamics are happening in this community or the larger American community, those are things with which we need and should want to interact creatively.
So as you prepare to take over officially on July 1st, Matthew Van Biesen, will the notion of everybody in, nobody out continue?
Absolutely. I mean, it's our job to figure out how we take that legacy here. And as Ken, you know, mentioned, you know, he inherited this notion and ran with it, and I think we'll do the same. And, you know, what that means today, I think, is all the more important. I mean, in, you know, we live in this incredibly growingly diverse world and society, both, you know, personally, geographically, intellectually, and I think we have a great opportunity there.
You've been listening to a tribute to Ken Fisher, a look back and a look ahead. Ken's 30-year run as president of UMS ends on Friday. Matthew Van Biesen officially begins his tenure at UMS president on Saturday. Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County, Southeast Michigan, and the world of the arts has been deeply enriched by the service of Ken Fisher over the past three decades. We thank you, Ken, but we have no intention of saying goodbye. We're going to stay friendly. And Matthew Van Biesen, once again, welcome, and we wish you the greatest of success as UMS president. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure, and I thank you for your time today.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Thank you so much, David.
I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.